Blog Talk Radio.
Am I live here?
If you are sick with COVID-19 or think you might have it, stay home except to get medical care. Monitor your symptoms. If your symptoms get worse, contact your doctor. Get rest and stay hydrated. Avoid public transportation, ride sharing, or taxis. And take these 6 steps to protect others. Wear a mask over your mouth and nose if you must be around other people. Cover your mouth and nose with a tissue when you cough or sneeze. Clean your hands often with soap and water or use hand sanitizer, especially after coughing or sneezing. As much as possible, stay in a separate room and away from others in your home. Avoid sharing personal household items such as dishes, utensils, towels, or bedding. Wash these items thoroughly after using them. And clean all surfaces that are touched often, like counters and doorknobs, every day. To learn more, visit cdc.gov.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduluhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates. We further witness that Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed 1,444 years ago, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation of the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, facilitator, and producer, along with Quran Shakir of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And we always like to invite you to this learning lab each and every Thursday, and especially those who may be tuned in for the first time. We want you to know that this, in fact, is your learning lab. And we invite you to ask questions and comments to anything that will be disseminated tonight in terms of information and also education. Now, usually on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, the first voice you generally hear is my partner, Quran Shakir. Unfortunately, she has laryngitis, and so you wouldn't be able to really make out too much of what she's saying tonight. And for those of you who may have received a text or an email, or even from last week's episode in the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, that we had planned on doing role playing. And what we mean by role playing, this is a mini series on correct communications to ensure that we have a harmonious marriage relationship in good communications. And so this was going to be a part of it, and inshallah it still will be, but it just won't happen tonight because our beloved sister Quran Shakir has laryngitis. So we do want to make dua for her that Allah would make it easy for her and her voice would return back to, as we know, Quran Shakir. So she's behind the scenes tonight. And so sometimes, you know, you're thrust into a situation, and then this really goes to when we say in the Quran, as Imam Muhammad, given his tafsir on it, we always say, that man plans a human plan, but Allah plans, and Allah is the best planner. Our beloved leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, did a little tweaking on that. And when we know who Allah is and that he is As-Samad, that he is eternal and absolute, meaning that he's independent of anything, everything, and anybody. Yeah, I'll say that again. He's independent of anything, everything, and everybody. And that includes also time and space, time and space. So in the Tafsir, Imam W.D. Muhammad, he says, yes, the human being plans, but Allah has already planned, and he's the best of planners. So whatever it is that we say that we're going to do, we always say, Inshallah. And for our Christian brothers and sisters that listen tonight, that's equivalent to if it's the Lord's will. We make plans, but Allah has already planned. And so sometimes the plans that we make is not in accordance with God's plan. And when it is, we say, Mashallah, Mashallah, that now we know that it was a God's plan for that to be a reality. But never fear, Marsha, he is here. And Allah has blessed me to be able to utilize this time for what it is, some of the things that we have covered. And so I want to say to you, I'll be counting on you, our radio listening audience, to be engaging. And hopefully that you've taken good notes in the previous learning labs, which have been three of them on this time and topic. I want to say also, it's a little different, doing this by yourself, because Karan and I, we never rehearsed anything, but it just kind of became a routine that she would do what she does and I would do what I do, and hopefully we was doing something good in terms of disseminating information. But I do want you to know that the Courtship, Marriage, and Learning Lab was initiated all the way back in the year 2015 on our sister station. As a matter of fact, it was October 13, 2015, when we aired the first Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And so we just left the 2022 in the Gregorian year, and now, you know, when October reaches this year, inshallah, it will be officially 8 years on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. It's been continued here on IWDM Radio. And we have established a foundation for this learning lab like we have for the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And for those who are listening for the first time, we don't want you to think that Karan and myself just be speaking just from whims or just how we feel about it, what our opinions are, what our thoughts is. We have utilized the Quran, Al-Quran, which is the final revelation that Allah has given to all of us as human beings, and also the life example of the Prophet in demonstrating the Quran. That's the second source. I'm not saying resource, source. And last but not least, it's a tafsir, the clear explanation by Imam W.D. Muhammad, our scholarly leader and teacher. Those are the three sources that we actually use for this learning lab. And that is the foundation for the learning lab. Also, I want to say that, you know, in lieu of last night of the MGM roundtable, in which Karan was a part of, I could kind of hear that a little bit in her voice a little bit last night. And she did quite a bit of talk, and she probably smiling as she even said it. But she gave some excellent commentary, Terry, along with some of the three other hosts here on IWDM Radio, on the theme for IWDM Radio, which is Set Yourself Free in 2023 by Thinking with the Quran. Yeah, set yourself free in 2023 by thinking with the Quran. So you'll hear all of us say that quite a bit. Whatever the topic is that we're undertaking here on IWDM Radio. So tonight, I think that it would be a good idea to just go over some of the things that we have introduced on this mini-series on good, correct communication to ensure that we have a healthy, harmonious relationship. As Karan Shakir stated in some research that she had done, that communications is perhaps one or two in terms of leading to separation and divorce in our relationship. So this is very, very important. It's a serious, serious topic. We gave some basic and fundamental things. It doesn't hurt to go back over those things, and hopefully if you haven't gotten your pen, a pencil, and notebook, I would advise you to do that tonight as we go over some of those things. And maybe you came to class unprepared. You know, sometimes we come unprepared. But this is your opportunity to take good notes that maybe you didn't take before, or maybe you're listening for the first time. And so I do expect you to press one, to make some comments, or ask some questions, or, you know, at least some of the things I'll be saying tonight would actually be resonating with you. And so this is an inclusive learning lab, and especially tonight and all, because we want you to be prepared. Inshallah, that maybe next Thursday we can get to role playing, you know, in terms of what it is that we promise, in terms of communicating the wrong way and you being the critics. Well, how would you be a good critic if you don't have the correct information? And then the correct way. And you also being able to discern what it is that we're saying is correct. But how would you know that if you're not utilizing the information that we have given in the this series? So one of the things that we talked about, basic and fundamental, in all communication, there's always a sender. Just like now, I'm speaking to you here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I am the sender. And all of you in the radio listening audience, whether you have tuned or dialed into the studio, or whether you are listening by way of the internet, you are the receiver, okay? So in communication, there's a sender. Whoever is talking, that is the sender. Whoever is listening, they are the receiver. And listening is a big, 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 big part of communication. It's so such a big part of communication that one of the things that we gave is a very simplistic but a very profound definition for listening. So please listen and please take note. Listening is the art of perceiving all that is being communicated. Listening is the art of perceiving all that is being communicated. Okay, so you might ask in terms of listening being an art and listening being an art of perceiving, actually perception and what it is that you're receiving and what it is that you're perceiving, that's all being communicated. This also indicates that more than just words is being communicated. And if you were thinking like that, you were thinking correctly. And then this is something I think is noteworthy, that it has been studied in terms of communication. Most of our communication is nonverbal. Nonverbal. What do you mean? 55% of our communication is body language. Body language. The body actually is a language in terms of what it is that you do with your body, such as folding your arms, crossing your legs, standing back, your facial expressions, how it is that your facial expression and eyes and all what it is seen on the face is actually communicating something in terms of the communication. Very, very important. I know that years ago I had in my library an outstanding book that was titled Body Language. And I was trying to think of the author's name as I was speaking to a close friend of mine. I couldn't think of it. And, you know, usually when you have an outstanding book or something and you tell somebody about it back in the day, you would maybe say, loan it to them and allow them to read it. And of course, they fell in love with the book and they forgot to give it back. So, but anyway, body language. About 55% of all communication is body language. And about 35% is tone of voice. By tone of voice, in terms of the tone of voice that it is that you use in your communication, which is very, very important. And especially when we talk about male-female relationship, very important. But we might have a mic open there. Fran, we have a mic open. So please close that mic. I hope she can hear me, you know. Do I have an engineer there, Fran, or Rashid? There's noise in the background. So, okay, thank you. They got it close. Okay. So 35% is tone of voice. So you might want to write this down. 55% body language in terms of communication. 35% tone of voice. So if you're doing the math, 55% and 35%, that comes to 90%. And we know the whole of anything is 100%. So that only leaves 10%. And that 10% is actual the actual words that you use, the actual words that you use. So most of the communication is not in the words that you use. The majority of that is in body language. And 35% being the tone of voice that you use. Very, very important. And so we need to watch the body language. The one thing about the body language is that we are biological. In that word, logical, you know, even though we may want to try to hide or camouflage, you know, how we're feeling or emotions that we have, the body always will be revealing something. It will be sending a message and all. See, so we want to watch that. And so when we look at in terms of listening, being the art of perceiving all that's being communicated, we also have discussed in this mini-series on correct communication to maintain and sustain a healthy, harmonious relationship, that there are five styles of listening. So I want to make sure this is noteworthy, so I'm asking you to make sure, if you have it already, then alhamdulillah, but if you don't have it already, this is noteworthy. There are five styles of listening that we have covered in this learning lab on this mini-series on correct communication for healthy, harmonious relationships. And the first style of listening is called ignoring. Now, ignoring is the most disrespectful form of listening, the most disrespectful form of listening, whereas you are totally ignoring that person. You know, back years ago, you used to have a phrase, at least in the African-American community, and that phrase was, talk to the hand. It's like, talk to the hand. Well, the hand can't hear. You got an ear to hear. So it's like we were saying, you're not talking to me because I'm not listening to you. You're not talking to me, and I'm not listening to you. So it's a total disregard for what is being communicated. What the sender is sending to you, I could care less. I'm going to ignore you. The most disrespectful form of actually listening, you see, which is very important. You know, as an educator, teachers often want to get the attention of the class that they have. They will ask the class, I need you to come to attention so that you can hear what it is I have to say, if I'm giving you instructions or what, for the class. But if they're ignoring you, then you're not reaching them. And actually, that word ignore is in a word called ignorant. There's two types of ignorance. One is an innocent ignorance, meaning that lacking knowledge, not knowing. But the other one is an ignorance that's predicated on ignoring. I don't want to know what it is that you have to say. So that is the first form of listening. I won't say the first form of listening, but that's the first one that we're covering, which is the most disrespectful. Number two is pretending to listen. And you should have that down on your paper, pretending. This is often seen in parent-child relationship, where the parent is preoccupied and they're pretending to listen to their child. And the child brings something that they drew. They take a look at it and say, oh, that's a nice doggy. And then the child says, but Mama, Daddy, that's not a doggy. That's a horse. Oh, nice horsey, you see, because they're preoccupied. Well, this happens also in husband-wife relationship or even in the courtship, whereas you're pretending to listen. And that's not good, because if in the courtship this is your intended, then your intention is to pay attention sincerely, but not pretending to listen, where you're preoccupied. This is why it's not acceptable in good communication when you're having dinner and you're texting while your mate is trying to have a conversation, a communication with you, or you're doing something else that's preoccupying your mind. You're multitasking. In most cases, you're pretending to listen. We're talking about what promotes a healthy, harmonious relationship. So pretending to listen doesn't do that. So it's very important that you don't pretend to listen. A third type of listening, of the five, is selective listening. Yes, selective listening. You probably hear it in the word that you are selecting what it is that you want to hear, that you are accepting. When you select what it is that you want to hear. But the thing that's not good in selective listening, you're dismissing the things that you don't want to hear. Now remember, you continuously go back to your base. In definition is direction. In definition is correction. meaning that we have given a simplistic but a very profound definition when it comes to listening. So listening is the art of perceiving all that is being communicated. So ignoring is not truly listening. It's dismissing listening. Pretending is not truly listening. And selective listening is not truly listening, because we're not perceiving all that is being communicated. In selective listening, we are just only accepting what it is that we agree with. And so we don't get everything. And we're dismissing those things that we don't agree with. This is very, very, very important that we don't do selective listening. You know, we want to perceive all that is being communicated. You know, it's not like going grocery shopping. It's not like going to the produce aisle, or section, I should say, and selecting those things that go in that basket. Imam Muhammad said you should select the things that go into your mind. But when we are in the sacred institution of marriage, you don't want to do selective listening with your partner. Now, it may be some things that you disagree with, but you want to perceive all that's being communicated, because you may have to work on those things that you disagree with, you see. And Allah gives us guidance in the Quran when he says, obey Allah, obey his messenger, and obey those who have been placed in authority among you. But in matters where you disagree, refer it back to Allah and his messenger. Now, this theme that we have to set yourself free in 2023 by thinking with the Quran, Allah has given us instructions whereas that we differ or we disagree, refer it back to Allah and his messenger. Well, how will you be able to do that if you're just doing selective listening? Maybe you may agree more with that person, but they express it in a different way. So selective listening is not the type of listening that we want to have in a healthy, harmonious relationship and communication. And then we have four of the five, which is attentive listening. Now, you might think that this would be ideal, you know, attentive listening. But attentive listening is usually exercised by more males than females, believe it or not. But when we gave the breakdown in terms of communication, we saw that body language was 55%, tone of voice was 35%, and the actual words were only 10%. But inattentive listening is all about the words. It's all about the words. It's not about, you know, the tone of voice. It's not about the body language. We dismiss that. So when we dismiss that, we miss a lot of the communication. This is very, very important, because we just don't want to be attentive and focus on the words and the words only. Because if we do that, we're going to miss a big part of the communication. So hopefully you make that connection that attentive listening is needed and necessary, but it's not the highest form of listening, because communication involves more than just the words, which you're focusing on when you're just an attentive listener. What we had scheduled for the night, for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, that's Quran, Shakir, and myself, was to do role playing. And so it's a little difficult when you're doing it on radio as opposed to being in person. But we would have set the scene and everything for you and what it was that you need to know. But you would have been listening for the tone of voice, the things that were being said, and also the reaction. And you've been able to discern that in being a critic. So that's very, very important to be very attentive. But your attentive listening is not the highest form of listening. You most certainly have to take in consideration those other aspects of communication. Last but not least is empathic listening. Yes, you hear the base word, which is empathy. Empathic listening means that I'm listening to you, I'm understanding you, but I'm in tune to your feelings. I'm in tune with your feelings. I'm in tune with your emotions. Now, empathic listening is the highest form of listening. It doesn't necessarily indicate that you agree with everything that's being said by the sender and you the receiver. But what it does say is, I understand what you're saying. And also, I feel you. Yeah, you know, African Americans, we develop our own cultural language. And that was a way of saying, I'm in tune with your feelings. I understand you, but I'm in tune with your feelings. You know, this is the highest form of listening. Now that you have the highest form of listening, it should take us back to the definition. As Imam Muhammad said, in definition is direction. And I've also added correction, you see, because some of us say, yeah, I heard you. You know, so usually when that statement is made, you know the person hasn't truly, truly, truly listened to everything. This is what sometimes bring on debates and then digress or regress to arguments and bring conflict into a relationship. We don't do it intentionally, but because of these styles of listening that are really not appropriate for having a healthy, harmonious relationship, we wind up doing those things inadvertently, and we wind up sabotaging our relationship because we are actually ignoring, or we're pretending, or we're just being selective in what it is we listen to, or we're just paying attention to the words only. So therefore, we don't get everything. We don't receive everything. We're not perceiving everything. But with empathic listening, you actually are really in accordance with the definition of listening is the art of perceiving all that is being communicated. You can only get that with empathic listening. So hopefully you've taken a note and you put all those down, and with a little detailed information in regards to that helps you, and you can see where you are right now. You can see where you are in that and see where it is that you have to and you need to go if, in fact, you want to become a better communicator. And this is both for men and women. And when you're in the sacred institution of marriage, you want to make sure that you have the best communication, the best communication. Because empathic listening actually implicates that you really, really care about that person. You really care about that person. So before we go on to talk about the two different platforms that we covered in terms of both the male and female being different in the platform, that information we've given, I want to say to our radio listening audience, if you just tuned in, you're listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Karan Shakir and Mark Shaheed. However, Karan Shakir is a little under the weather. She has laryngitis, and she can't talk. It's just a whisper, you know. So I can hardly understand it myself, so she doesn't have the voice tonight to be on. I know she would love to be on. And for those of you who may have tuned in thinking you're going to hear some role-playing tonight, that's not happening tonight. Inshallah, we always say inshallah. Allah says never say you're going to do tomorrow. And there'll be about seven more tomorrows for the next show.
By tomorrow.
Yes. Yes.
I did a role play with you.
Who'd I have? You
been
able to role play?
Yeah,
is this
Frank?
Huh?
I'm looking at Anne's, her representative.
Okay, so this is Karan's sister?
Yes.
Oh, okay. This is Karan's sister. Okay. So we're going to do that. But before we do, I know Karan is behind the scenes engineering. I do invite you to press 1 if some of the things that I've said already, just in doing a little overview of some of the things that we've done, if this is resonating with or you have a question or anything that I've said thus far. So press 1. I'd like to hear from you. And then I got Karan Shakir's representative. This is all live, y'all. Alhamdulillah. All right, so do we have anybody in the queue there, Karan, if they raise their hand? And for those who listen in by way of the Internet, you do have to call in to the station, IWDM Radio, and I didn't give that number. That is 714-816-4673. That's 714-816-4673. So we do invite you to do that.
So there's nobody in
press
queue.
1. Do we have anybody?
No,
yes.
There's nobody in the queue.
There's nobody in the queue. Okay, very good. Okay,
no.
Alhamdulillah.
So
all right, so... Yes. So do you have a script or you want me to give my script? I could do one because I don't know how much communication it Karan, because she had a couple of scripts, but I'll do this one here. And I want to say to our radio listening audience, this is role playing. You know, so I'm saying this, if you just tuning in, dialing in. Yes.
So, Madam Q said there's one in the queue, area code 773-449.
Okay.
If you can state your question or your statement.
Yes. Please state your name, where you're calling from, and what question or comment that you have. I think I know this number.
Assalamu alaikum.
All right.
This is Samir at Chicago. There's a lot of interruption on the lines. Sound like somebody is driving with their line open. But this is so wonderful.
Yeah.
And,
I don't know if this would be. Oh, it stopped. Okay. So. I would ask, thank you, Amira. I would ask that if, in fact, it would be better for our archives, if you could get to a where you could be stationary.
Oh, it's not me. It was somebody else's line.
No, I got it. No, I know that Karan's representative, when she called in, there's a lot of static. You can barely hear what's being said. So I'm just giving the instruction now, if in fact that they can get somewhere where they can be stationary, then that will alleviate the noise, whether a lot of times when you're driving there's a wind current or what. And the mics are so very, very sensitive that it would be difficult for our radio listening audience to really hear. And we want to say that all of our productions here on IWDM Radio, they are archived. So we want to be able to listen. Since we're talking about communication, you know, one of the things I had said is that there's always a sender, there's a receiver, but there's always an interrupter. We call it interrupter obstruction noise. So we want it to be as clear as possible. So if that could happen, I think we could possibly do that. I don't know that if that can actually happen. I think this was Karan's sister, but it was difficult for me to hear. And I'm thinking that it may be very difficult for us to do that with having the noise in the background. If in fact that could happen, I don't know. But I'm ready to give the script and everything so that perhaps we can do it. So perhaps Sister Shakir can call back in if she can get to somewhat a quiet environment. That would be good for our radio listening audience. So Amira, did you have anything else that you'd like to say?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I was just really ready to hear the role playing, but this is so wonderful, and Mark, I'm so glad that you went over these different styles of communication, and I think I took some good notes this time. And it's just something when you think in talking that you're communicating, but if you don't have knowledge of these different styles that you just shared with us, then there's going to be a lot missing in the communication. And you're not going to get good results until you get to the very last one of the empathic listening.
Empathic. Okay. Based on the base word is empathy, but it's called empathic listening, which is the highest form of listening, whereas that you really understand what the person is saying, but you also not only understanding what they're saying, you also in tune with their feelings. This is very, very important, because the other four, most certainly ignoring the person, you're disregarding what they're saying, but you're also disregarding their feelings. So when you're ignoring, you just really don't care. It's the most disrespectful form. So when you're pretending, that means that you're preoccupied. So once again, what empathic listening is understanding what is being communicated, but also feeling the feelings of the person that actually is the sender. So when you're pretending, you're not really in tune because you're preoccupied. You're more preoccupied in what it is you're doing or you're giving your attention to, you see. So you fall short of the mark. And, you know, of course, when you're doing selective listening, actually it tells you. You know, you're only just selecting things that you agree with, but things that you don't agree with, you dismiss them. So you're not trying to, in selective listening, you're not trying to understand, like empathic listening. And you disregard also the feelings in terms of the sender that's expressing themselves in that regard. It doesn't mean that you, in terms of right or wrong, but it still falls short of the highest form of listening. And then attentive listening, as we said, you're only paying attention to the words only, you see, the words only. And oftentimes males or men are guilty of this. They pay attention to the words only, but they miss a large part of the communication, the body language. They don't pick up on that, but also the tone of voice. They don't pick up on that. I mean, so men can actually involved in a conversation. Could be involved in a conversation, and the only thing that they hear is just the words. You know, so sometimes if you actually would just kind of listen in to men, just communicating with each other, you think they was really, really arguing. What? They disregard each other's feelings. I don't care what you, how you feel about that and what you think about that. You know, that's just only in terms of what you say or whatever. Even it might be passion or whatever is being displayed in that communication, but you won't pick it up because the only thing that you hear is the words, you see. So that empathic listening actually is the highest form of listening. Yes, ma'am.
And yes, when it is like master keys to knowledge, and always speak about what you don't know, you don't know. And if you did, it would make a difference. And I can say this emphatically about what you shared with us tonight. Because a lot of times we wonder, we can be just talking, and not getting results. Well, if you don't have all the ingredients into getting good results and bringing things to this logical conclusion, it's just talking. And so what you gave us here tonight was really wonderful, going from 1 to 5, and it covers an area that when you get to number 5 for yourself, then you know to expect good results because you have the keys now to effective communication. Thank you, Mark.
Mm-hmm. Yes, alhamdulillah, and thank you, Amira, for calling and saying that. And so everybody have to do self-assessment. Yeah, you're absolutely right on point, you know, because all of us fall into one of those categories, and hopefully it's not the most disrespectful category. We just ignore people, and hopefully we're not the type of person just always pretending to listen, because we're not going to get anything there. We're not going to get anything if we're ignoring, and if we selected listening, we will get something, but we won't get everything that it is that we need to get. And we're talking about male-female communication in the sacred institution of marriage. So even if courtship, I want to include courtship in that. That's very, very important, because what it is that you see in courtship, you perhaps will be getting that in the partnership. So if you have intended in that regard, pay particularly close attention, you know, in terms of that style of listening and being a good listener. And like I say, being attentive a listener, you're only going to just get what the words, but actually you can say the same words, but it can have a different overtone in that regard. So that's very, very, very important. You know, I often use in the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, the mother of Hassan to go upstairs and clean up his room. Hassan could respond, "Okay, I'm on my way to go. I'm on my way to go and clean up my room." He responds back to his mother, and then another way, and you know, I mean, the mother could give the same instruction to Hassan. Go upstairs and clean up your room. "Okay, I'm going upstairs. I'm going upstairs to clean up my room." I said the same thing, the same words. What changed? It was a tone of voice. It was a tone of voice. You see? So that's 35% of the communication. Hassan's, the first Hassan, you understand, he said, "Okay, I'm going upstairs to clean up my room." The second Hassan says, "Okay, I'm going upstairs to clean my room." But what changed was the tone of voice. So sometimes you see that in the courtship, and you may hear it also in the sacred institution of marriage. So the tone of voice has a lot to do with the communication. So we have to just watch that. And so, you know, if there's nobody else to have their hand up, I want to thank Amira for calling in and making that comment and then just alerting us as a listener with so much noise in the background. It that's very difficult to be able to make out, because obviously there's some movement in terms of transport, you know, say moving in a vehicle. And I've heard that before too, because, you know, when you're traveling or what, it's the wind current that can make a lot of noise. These mics are so very, very sensitive. They pick that up, and it's difficult to hear. So thank you, Amira, for at least saying that, because we really want it to be heard. It's just, we're talking about communication. We really want it to be heard so our listeners can really, really hear that. I have quite a bit to give in terms of communication. It's an excellent time to go over some of the things and perhaps introduce.
Brother Mark? Brother,
yes.
Mark, there's,
yes,
another caller in the queue, area code 404-368.
Okay. So we want to go to the caller. Please, Amira, if you would, press 1 and go out. And if you have something else to say, and perhaps you will, hopefully you'll come back, then you can press 1 and come back in. So let's go to 404, my dear sister, and see what they have on their mind. You can open their mic.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Is this
I think I know this famous voice, but anyway, please announce, who are you and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Decatur, Georgia. This is Sister Tawanda.
Tawanda. Assalamu alaikum, my dear sister. So it's so good to hear your voice and all. We haven't heard your voice in a while. So you've heard some of the things I've said in terms of just a review, an overview, if you will, in some of the things that we have given in the past 3 weeks. Tonight, you got a question or a comment that you would like to make?
Well, yes, I have a question. What is in Islam? What is courtship?
Oh, what is courtship?
Yes, sir.
Well, courtship is what it is that we use in al-Islam and not use the word dating. Courtship really is for making a determination, a judgment, a decision as to whether or not there can be a partnership. A partnership we see as a sacred institution of marriage. So just like, I don't know if you've ever been to court, but I know most people, if they haven't been to court, they actually have watched TV or movies and they've seen courtroom sessions. You see courtroom sessions. And what generally happens in court, you're trying to arrive at a decision based on the proof, evidence, what is given for judgment, either by a judge or a jury. Okay, so we say courtship, it has a similarity where you're trying to get some proof and some evidence that a person that is interested in you and you're interested in them, as Quran like to say, fact-finding, it's a fact-finding mission in terms of trying to make a determination who that person is, see, because the external is not who the person is. It's the internal. What is visible is not who the person is. That is the container. It is the invisible that you're trying to help to make visible to you. And then what you're looking for and what is the four basis, you know, even when the premarital questionnaire is sincerity, because the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has said, religion is sincerity. So this is one of the four fundamental things is sincerity. So you're looking for sincerity in that person and the sincerity that you have to have. The next thing is honesty. and also integrity. And we get that from the beloved, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because these were titles that was bestowed upon the Prophet before he became a prophet, when he was known as Muhammad ibn Abdullah. They call him As-Siddiq. They called him El-Amin, As-Siddiq, being that he was known as the truthful. El-Amin, meaning that he was known as the trustworthy. These would be two commodities or qualities that you would have to have and that intended would have to have. That's not all of it, but that's a good beginning, because how would a relationship look if you had somebody that was not truthful and it was not trustworthy? Could that in fact be a real relationship? Well, we know the answer is no. It could not. It would not be a real relationship if one or both was not truthful and was not trustworthy. And then finally, the fourth thing is transparency. So we want to give the intended the respect that is due and not make them a suspect. And so Allah says in the Quran, avoid suspicion as much as possible. Well, how do you avoid suspicion or making or casting a person as a suspect? Well, as Imam Muhammad has told to us and said to us over the years, you want to be transparent. You want to be transparent. You're not trying to hide anything or conceal anything. You want to be transparent. So you have to allow that person to see you as you are. As you are. And a lot of times in the conversation, in the courtship, you have to sometimes go back. You know, as that premarital questionnaire, the personal history background. Sometimes people don't really want to do that, you know. But if they give it and communicate it, they should give it, they could give it in a way. This is when I was younger. When I was young and dumb, I just didn't know these things. I did this and I did that. But guess what? I learned from that. I learned from my errors. I learned from my mistakes. But that's not the person I am today. You see, that's how it should be communicated in that regard. But the transparency is very, very important. That way, there's no skeletons in the person's closet, so to speak, to use that verbiage. So it's sincerity, honesty, integrity, and transparency. And that is the foundation when you're in courtship. And, of course, courtship also says or implies or insinuates there's an objective. And that objective is that you want to be married. And it has to be stated. It's not a game. It's not like dating. You know, they used to have a show. I forget. I think it was it Bob Eubank? I don't know. But it was called a dating game. It was called a dating game. And it was a long-run series on the dating game. Now, they may have old reruns of it. But it's not a dating game, because in Western society, a person could date forever and a day, so to speak, and not have the objective of ever being married. In Western society, a person could be dating more than one person at a time, you know, with no intention of ever getting married. It can become just a convenience to have somebody to go out with, or to be with, if it's a couple's type of event or what. But it doesn't necessarily indicate that there's an objective. Unlike courtship, and especially Islamic courtship, where there's an objective, it has to and needs to be stated at the very beginning. I have an interest in you. because I am looking for a wife. Or if it's vice versa, I have an interest in you because I'm looking for a husband. Okay? That has to be stated. From an Islamic perspective, we just don't make assumptions, and we should not play games in that regard, you see. So when we do that, we are doing what it is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, that all matters and actions are judged, they are judged by your niyyah. Your niyyah is your intention. It should be your pure intention. It should be your motivation. It should be your desire. So your pure intention is that you want to be married. You know, your motivation is to strive to get married. Your desire is to be married and to stay married. You see, so all of that, very, very important information, all of that's embodied in Islamic courtship, Islamic courtship. Not thinking from a Western perspective in terms of just dating or having somebody to be with. And so in that process, you're looking for proof, evidence, bringing to the table, who are you? And then vice versa, who are you? And then in the courtship, you're looking for to see if not only is there sincerity, honesty, integrity, and yes, and then also commonality. That's what I want to say, commonality. In other words, words of inanality becomes a reality, what you have in common. That's important. And also, we want to say compatibility. Compatibility is very, very important because it is the ability to be able to live and to work together with little or no conflict. Very, very important. And then we go and look at the Quran. Allah says, among his signs is this, that I have made for you from among yourselves mates of like nature, that you may be able to dwell together in tranquility, and I, Allah, will put love and mercy between your hearts. Verily, in that are signs for those who reflect. So Allah wants us to have tranquility in our life. And this is in accordance with the natural creation. The natural creation of Allah, we see there's tranquility. We don't see chaos. We don't see disorder. We see order. And Imam Muhammad said that this is a sign. This is a sign. In the natural creation, we see peace, we see order, and we see beauty. Now think about that. What do we want to have in the sacred institution of marriage? Should we want to have peace, order, and beauty in our relationship? I would say yes, we want to have that. But those things that I name are essential, and it's a prerequisite to be able to have that type of tranquility that Allah said we'd be permitted to be able to dwell or to live together. And the compatibility being the ability to live and work together with little or no conflict, you know. So that's very important. And the word I was trying to think of was just where I said it was transparency, which is very, very important in terms of being open, not closed, not concealing, but revealing things, you understand, that would be an interest or concern for that person that would be interested in you. You have to be truthful. Yes.
What surah is that you just spoke about?
That is Surah Harum. That is Surah 30, and that's Ayat of verse 21 in the Quran. Surah chapter 30, verse 21.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Tawana. Any other question or comment that you may have? And
that was beautiful right there, what you just said.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, thank you. And thank you for asking that, because when you asked that question, you helped a lot of people. You helped a lot of people in terms of distinction between what is courtship and how should we see it from an Islamic perspective. So we don't think like, you know, Western society. Dating is the word in Western society. Actually,
right.
You know, all you ever hear of courtship is almost like it became archaic or so to speak, and nobody really used it. I know when I was a boy coming up, but I'm quite older, in the 70 club, they used to say, oh, he must be courting. She's courting.
Mm, yes.
Would say that then back in the day, but you generally won't hear that unless you're talking to Muslims and really learn Muslims, you know, because I've actually heard some Muslims use the word dating. We don't date. Yeah, you tell them, no, we don't date. You know, you want to relate, but you don't date. You want to relate. You want to communicate,
right.
But you do that in courtship, not in dating. I mean, because there's another difference that I want to give you to one. Another difference is simply this. Dating is for impression. Courtship is for expression. What's the difference? What am I saying? Oftentimes, if a man wants to impress a woman in Western society, he may take her to a five-star restaurant and they may go to the movies, or maybe they go to a theater, or maybe they go to some type of show, a live show or something of that nature. And actually, we could wind up spending $200, $250 on one date. Now, oftentimes they go places where it's not suitable for even having conversation or communication. But because he spent a lot of money, might be very impressive to this person that he's taking out on a date. But then the expectation is that this person got a lot of money to spend and that will never end. So courtship is different. It's not about trying to impress, but it's about trying to express who I am and who you are. So it doesn't require that you have to spend a lot of money. You just have to spend the time in terms of getting to know that person. And those four things that I just said, you have to be the sincerity, the honesty, the integrity, the transparency. You see, to see if, in fact, that you have a commonality. You know, words in analogy is play on the word reality. The reality, commonality is the reality of what you, reality of what is you have in common, you see. And that would determine if there's some compatibility, see. So it doesn't require that you have to do something very expensive or lavish. It don't require that you have to do that, not at all, you know. And actually in the public, you go out and have lunch, and you can have a conversation in regards to who you are, who they are. And I would say the premarital questionnaire, the categories and questions are excellent for kind of helping as a guide and steering you in terms of things that you want to talk about or you want to know. And it, all the questions may not be on there, but just in engaging that person, some other questions naturally will come into play in regards to that. And like I said, the prerequisites is sincerity, honesty, integrity, and transparency. That's, you know, very, very, you know, important to get to know that person. It's actually making the invisible visible. The real person is, in fact, invisible. So those questions make them visible. Now, if you're not honest and you're not truthful and you're not transparent, eventually that person is going to know that. But you want to enter in terms of the courtship with respect for the other person. We don't want to be influenced to make it think that, you know, no, every brother is dishonest, every brother is not truthful, and they're always hiding and concealing something. Or we don't want, you know, every brother, every man to think that women, all women, are the same. See, generality is never the reality. Get to know that person. Don't take in consideration relationships from the past. That's not the same person. And hopefully the person that came from a bad relationship, that what they learned from that, they actually are a better person and not a bitter person. That's very important too, because every relationship that doesn't work, even in the sacred institution of marriage, you're either going to come away from that bitter or better. And you determine whether or not you're going to be bitter or better. So, you know, we give something in the learning lab in terms of how we learn. And it's in the word idea, instructions, demonstration, experience, and assessment. And sometimes people, they live long enough, all of us going to have different experiences. But those persons that go through life, they just will have one experience after another, and they will learn nothing from that, only because they fail to assess it. That's why it's important that we have to look back and assess it, because we might be stuck and not even know we're stuck. And we may be holding, maybe say, someone that a lot of sins into your life. And because we're stuck, we're looking at the person that Allah may have sent in your life as the person that once was in your life. That's being stuck and not even knowing it. You know, I don't trust no man, or I don't trust no women. You know, if we come to that conclusion, that's an irrational conclusion. That's why we have to empty out certain things. As I was saying earlier to Sister Mira when she called in, you have to remove things from the shelf of yourself. Everybody have different shelves. We have moral shelf. We have an intellectual, rational shelf. We have an emotional shelf. We have a social shelf. And we also have a spiritual shelf. Now, some of those things have an expiration date on it. That haven't molded us well, and we need to remove those things. In short language, that's called baggage. It's called baggage, and some people are hauling baggage with them. So, you know, we don't want to do that because it won't free us up to be able to make the right decisions and determinations, to be able to determine a judgment, what is good for us, you know, because we will be hauling heavy, heavy baggage. And in reality, we won't be fair and just. It's difficult to be fair and just because it's still weighing on you, you know. You know, you still got your boxing gloves on. You got your your orange belt, even if you never graduate to a black belt. You're in your defensive stand, you know, ready to kick, you know, to punch, you know. I'm just saying it as an analogy, but I think you understand what I'm saying. So we don't want to be like that, you know. And if we've been hurt, we want to heal. It's not even advisable to go into a relationship or to even seek a mate if you're still hurt. We heard that saying, but it's true. It's a lot of validity. Hurt people hurt people. You know, if you know you're still hurt, be honest with yourself. Still hurt. I need to talk to somebody to help me to be able to remedy that hurt. How do we do that? You see? So I think I said enough. But thank you, Tawanda.
Yes, sir. Hopefully. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Thank Sister Tawanda for calling in from Decatur, Georgia there. A great question and all. My engineer, is there anybody else with their hands up and want to say, if you just tuned in, you tuned in to IWDM Radio, and you tuned in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir and Mark Shahid. And I am Mark Shahid, and Quran Shakir has laryngitis tonight, and so her voice is in no shape to be talking on the radio. We want her to rest her voice, and we ask that Allah bless her to return to herself and everything. So I'm flying solo tonight, and if there are no more callers in the queue with their hands up, I know you were looking forward to having that role playing tonight, but we say inshallah next week. And whoever is engineering there, it's very quiet. It seemed like in the background, but if they wanna, we can do a skit. If that person is capable or want to do that, what we can. I still have other information that you might want to take down. Some of the things that we covered over the last 3 weeks, you know, we just gave the five styles of listening. And so one of the things that we brought to the Learning Lab was the different platforms. This goes to the Quran too, is that Allah says in the Quran, in no wise is the male like the female like the male. And so there is a difference. But also they have a commonality in Khalaqakum and Nafsin Wahida, that Allah had created the human being from one single soul. Or as Imam Muhammad said, one single essence. And so when we look at the abstract, in terms of intellect, in terms of mind and thinking, in terms of spirit, in all emotion, then we are all human beings. There is no superiority. So whereas in biblical scripture, it seems that the man is superior to the woman. Even in the creation, she was thought about last in biblical scripture. And she coming from the man, coming from the rib, you see. So that's not in the Quran, you see. So only when there is biological creation, Almighty God, Allah, has given roles and responsibilities to each. There's a role and responsibility Allah gives in the Quran for men. There's a role and responsibility Allah gives to the women in Quran, you see. And Allah does not give roles and responsibilities without giving his human creation the provisions. So Allah says that he's given every creature, including his human creature, the provisions. This is Quran. So very, very important, you know, to take note in regards to that. And Allah says, in no wise is the male like the female, nor the female like the male. So in looking at these two platforms in terms of communication, we use the acronym IIS. So if you're taking notes, you want to put down IIS, capital I, capital I, and capital S, IIS. And for the woman, you want to write, I care, but you're going to be spelling care with C-A-I-R-E. So we'll deal with the male first, which is I is. Men, and this is a generality, is not the reality. There are always exceptions to the rule. But generally speaking, men communicate from that platform. That first I is one of independence. And oftentimes, if you ever observe men just conversating with men, it's one of independence, you know, not depending on anybody in terms of what it is that they're saying. Very, very, you know, independent. They're not looking for support. And we know that in Al-Islam, only Allah is independent. But for men, in terms of actually performing their role, it's Al-Rujul, Kanamuna, Anisa, that Allah has said that the men are the legs of support, but the Kanamuna is that they are to be the protectors and the maintainer of women. So it's not uncommon, unnatural for men to want to personify some type of independence to be able to do that. But know that only Allah is independent. He has created us in pairs, which meaning that we are interdependent. But this is one of the qualities of men and communication. I don't need any support for what it is that I'm actually saying. A sense of independence. The second I stands for invulnerable, not being vulnerable, not wanting to put themselves in a position to be hurt or harmed. Very, very important. You see, when you have that role is protector, maintainer, you don't want to be put yourself in a position where you can be hurt or harmed, or to see yourself not being trusting, because to become vulnerable, you have to be very, very trusting. But when you're a protector, you don't want to put yourself in that position in regards to being vulnerable because of what the role of responsibility is. So in his communication, it's personified in his communication of being invulnerable, you know, and that comes across when you hear men communicating with other men. And then last but not least is status. I need to say this because I failed to say this. The objective in terms of men communicating is generally ignited through competitiveness, and oftentimes for information, competitiveness. And you often will See, man, that's why being independent, being invulnerable, they're being competitive. That last letter stands for status. Status. You know, a man always wants to sustain and maintain status, even in his communication. You know, he's not going to generally let another man outdo him. He's concerned about his status in communication. If you don't believe that, just start talking about something that men do, like fish or hunt. You know, he doesn't want to be at the bottom of the totem pole when somebody went out and caught fish. He's not going to want to be the one that only caught one fish, and it was so small he threw it back. He didn't catch anything. So sometimes, you understand, in terms of protection of his status, he may stretch the truth, so to speak. You know, when you have a conversation with men and men only, so they're concerned about the independence and being invulnerable and their status. Now, when we talk about, you know, women, I care, their platform is based on a community, a communable, in terms of wanting to interact. And that first I stands for being interactive in that regard. That C stands for care, but that's a C-A-R-E. And I've used that in workshops and seminars. An acronym for that is compassion, appreciation, respect. That's experience / evident. So when you actually care, you show compassion. Unlike with men, you understand, being competitive, there is no compassion. Because they want to be seen as the top or the best, whatever it is that they're discussing. But women are different. They show that they care, and they show compassion in their communication. They show appreciation. You know, unlike men, you understand, they want to distinguish themselves. But women, in their communication, they show that they value appreciation. Value is another word or synonym for appreciation. They really will show that they appreciate, maybe say, their girlfriends or their sister friends or what in their communication. And in doing that, that a third letter in the word care is respect. They show respect for whom it is, sister or a friend that they're talking to, they're showing respect. When you show that you appreciate and you value others in the communication, and that's respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. And that's when a relationship evolves, showing patience, ethics, communication skills, and thoughtfulness. So you might not see that from the platform of men because they weren't looking to establish themselves, whereas women are not looking to establish themselves, and nor are they looking at their status, you see. So you will experience that, and many women that's listening to this, they will attest to this. You will experience that in their communication with other women. And then the next letter in I care, we infuse the letter I, intimacy. You know, intimacy. Well, you know, we just said for men, their platform is being invulnerable. But intimacy is into me, you see. But it actually indicates vulnerability, being vulnerable, meaning that I trust you. Whereas a lot of times, men, they're not trying to express that I trust you. I'm going to be on the defensive. you know, I can't put myself in a position where I can be hurt or harmed, you see. But whereas with women, you understand, they make themselves vulnerable because into me, you see, they will expose themselves because they are trusting. They're not concerned about being vulnerable in regards to that. Because if she's a close friend, she'll tell her friends those personal and private things oftentimes in terms of her thoughts, her feelings, you see, her inhibitions, her fears. She will share that in her communication with other women. Whereas men, oh no, if they do that, they're vulnerable. Or it may reduce their status. So men generally don't tell other men that, okay? So keep that in mind. The R is relativeness. Relativeness. Relativeness is a connection where you're relating to that person that you actually talk to. Now remember, we said women, you know, that I stands for being interactive. But with men, in their communication platform, oftentimes it's just the opposite. I'm not trying to relate to what you say because I'm an independent thinker. This is what I'm saying. You know, it's interesting, you know, when you do listen to this, and so this will make a lot of sense to you. I ain't trying to relate. I'm not trying to support your platform. We don't have nothing in common. This is what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Forget about what you say. But women are just totally different in their communication. I can relate to what you're saying. You know, I'm there with you. And then, last but not least, is E. You know, I care. And E, guess what? If you thought about that, the E represents empathy. Now, remember, we just got to talk about the highest form of listening is empathic listening. So women in their communication show empathy. Now, empathy is not the same as sympathy, where you're looking down on somebody, where you see yourself above them and you feel sorry for them. Empathy is actually in terms of, as we say, empathic listening being the highest form of listening, where you understand their person, you're in tune with their feelings, and you can be empathetic in their communication. Where a lot of times men, you know, they're not empathetic, and they're not doing empathic listening, you know, because they're concerned more about I is, who I is. I know it's not correct grammar, but who I am in terms of that, but it's I is in terms of actually indicating that these become certain qualities that many have in a communication. So we can see that there's a difference in the platform in which men generally communicate from and women communicating from a different platform. So what is the point here when we start talking about the sacred institution of marriage or even in the courtship phase is that it's important for men to change their platform that they generally would communicate when they're talking to all men. But if you're talking to your intended or you're talking to your wife, you have to change the platform and understand her platform. Mm-hmm. You have to be interactive in the communication, not so much in terms of independent. So it has to be inclusion in her. And you can't be competing with her because she's not competing with you. That's not her platform. And in your communication, you have to change the platform to showing that you care about her. And this should be realized in the courtship and even more so in the partnership. You know, in selling the seven C's, a lecture, a workshop that I did back in the year 2019 in an Argo courtship, marriage, and family life here in the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis, a lot of great information from courtship to partnership, selling the seven C's. And one of those seven C's is care. Care is so important because even when you're communicating, it's important to note, brothers, you have to communicate in a way that she knows that you care. And in that, that acronym for care is that you have to show compassion. And she has to show compassion. In most cases, she will show compassion. But you have to change the platform and the style in which you're communicating when you're communicating with a woman. And that has to be in terms of showing compassion. But you also have to communicate in terms of showing appreciation and put in parentheses besides appreciation, valued. So, you know, you have to change that communication style because, remember, the objective in terms of men from their platform is to be competitive. Women are not trying to be competitive. Generally speaking, you don't see that. You might see it sometimes and say, oh, but Brother Shahid, I know somebody. Oh, I won't dispute that. But generally speaking, that's not how women communicate. It's about appreciation of value. And the R stands for respect, you know. And so you have to respect and show respect in that. Whereas that when men are communicating, man, get out of here with that stuff. I ain't respecting what you say. You ain't the one. I'm the one. You see. And then it should be experienced or be evident. That's the E. Experience and evident. Like I say, in terms of care, not only in the courtship phase, but even more pronounced in the sacred institution of marriage itself. Very, very important. And then I covered that in terms of care, but we also need to look at the difference in terms of when women actually have to somewhat in their communication with men to understand that they have to try to maintain a certain amount of independence, you see, whereas in their communication, if women are wise, they may just insinuate or implicate, you know, something to a point, whereas they send a hint to the wise, and the man is wise enough to pick up on that, and then it becomes like it was his idea because of their independence. But oftentimes it's not always good to just tell the man, you know, in that regard, knowing and understanding he had to maintain some type of semblance of independence. But, you know, if in fact that the respect is actually there, we say from the Quran that what it is that Allah says. Allah says, Amrahum Shurabainahum. What does that mean? That to conduct all the affairs through mutual consultation. And what is the prerequisites for conducting all your affairs through mutual consultation? It is mutual respect, you see. So that crossover in terms of understanding men by women would actually help her in her communication and then being invulnerable. she needs to understand how and why that's so important for him, because he's been given a role and the responsibility of being a protector. So it means you become a little defensive. You don't want to be so open, whereas you can be hurt or harmed. And so in being a protector, you're not as trusting in terms of being a protector, because that becomes a role and responsibilities you have. And so she needs to be conscious of that in her communication. In other words, you know, he may say something to her because he loves her and cares for her in terms of protecting herself. So just make sure, sweetheart, you got your keys. You're coming home late from work. I may not always be home, but have your keys out, your house keys out. Don't throw them down in your purse and be fumbling around in your purse. Like sometimes it happens for some women. They just throw their keys in their purse, and they got so much stuff in their purse, they just like looking for to try to locate the keys. Whereas the man, you understand, in terms of his role and responsibility to be a protector, he's looking out for her in that way. So she has to understand that he has a role and a responsibility, you know, in not being vulnerable, in being trusting. See, that becomes his MO. I ain't trusting nobody. Well, that can be good, too. You know, he's always on the lookout, whereas she may not always be on the lookout. That may be irrelevant to her, but it's very important to him. And if she's important to him, then he's going to say something in regards to that. So in a woman's communication, she has to be in tune to that's his platform. Let him have that platform of being invulnerable, because in some instances, that's a positive thing. It's not always a negative thing in that regard, you know. And if he really loves his mate and all, he's trusting of her, he'll open up. He'll open up to her when he won't open up to anybody else. That means he trusts her. So you never want to violate that trust that he has for you in terms of communicating or just conveying to others in the intimacy when he allows you to see into him and to share his most personal, private thoughts, feelings, emotions, inhibitions, and even, yes, fears that he may have. Things that he may be apprehensive about. He's not going to share that with any and everybody, because he don't want to put himself in a position where he can be hurt or harmed. So if, in fact, that you can have that type of relationship in terms of sometimes it's called pillow talk. This is for married couples now in that regard. But you want to be conscious of that, you see. And then last but least, you know, women want to also be regardful and recognize and respect the man in terms of status. This is very, very important. So when she's communicating with him, you never want to denigrate him or marginalize him or minimize him in terms of his status, his self-esteem, and his status is very, very important, you know. And you want him always to maintain his dignity, you know. Even if he haven't arrived to all that is that he was intended to be, very important that he maintain his status. So you want to be conscious of that. In terms of this is a platform that he communicates from. So if the two actually understand the platform, then they'll have better communication. Men understanding the platform of women, I care. Women understanding the platform, that is very, very important in regards to that. I know I've been talking quite a bit, but those of you who may have tuned in late, you into IWDM Radio, and you're also listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir and Mark Shaheed. However, Quran Shakir is not able to be on tonight. She has laryngitis, and so it's pretty much a whisper. You have to be strained to hear her tonight. So what we had scheduled for role-playing, we're going to reschedule, inshallah, that's God willing, for next week to do that. I've just been going over some of the things that we had as highlights in the three previous learning labs and what I call a mini-series on correct communication to sustain and maintain a healthy, harmonious relationship, because communication is vitally needed in our relationship. It's at the top of the list in terms of why relationships don't work, because of lack of communication, miscommunication, no communication. And that has separated couples and led to the divorce court. Mm-hmm. That's not good. So I want to say that I've been saying quite a bit here, so hopefully give me some feedback here. If you have any questions or you have any comments on anything that I've said tonight, I want you to press 1. And if you're listening by way of the internet, for you to be involved, you have to call into the studio. That number is 714-816-4673. Once again, 714-816-4673. You can press 1. And my engineer, I got a special guest engineer. We're going to get her to say who she is tonight and everything that have stepped in for Quran and all. We want you to press 1. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask, this is a good time I usually do my little mini survey. If what you heard tonight, I need you to be participating tonight. Is there anything that you heard tonight, even in the review, if you've been here for the last 3 productions in this mini-series on correct communication to sustain and maintain a healthy, harmonious relationship in the sacred institution of marriage or even in the courtship and all, if there's anything tonight that have really resonated with you, I just need you to be a participant. I need you to press 1. Press 1 and just hold it for 10 seconds if anything resonated with you. And I'm up to 5. And I'm up to 10. Now I'm going to ask my engineer, did we get any participation? Engineer, talk to me. You have to come. You have to really open your mic and let me know. But maybe I don't have an engineer that's there right now. That's something I usually do when Quran is engineering to see if, in fact, that we had participation from our audience. So maybe we won't be able to do that tonight. But if you like to make a comment or ask a question or if anything has resonated with you tonight in doing this review overview, then I'm asking you to press 1. So I'm going to ask my engineer again, do we have any hands up? Please talk to me. Yeah, maybe I don't have an engineer. I might be operating without an engineer here. I don't know necessarily. I know we're getting close to the top of the hour here. We only have a few more minutes left. So why don't I just take that time and I do apologize today if you have pressed 1 and you want to say something. This is a little different tonight because generally I have an engineer. I'm not able to see like most people, so I never engineer any of my shows. I'm dependent upon an engineer to actually inform me if somebody have pressed 1. So I'll just take make my salam.
Yeah, so your engineer came back, didn't say anything, but he just opened up my microphone.
Oh, this sound like William Kareem.
Yo, you sound like Mark Shaheen.
I want to say the one and only Mark Shaheen, but I got a son that his mother was insistent that he take my name, and I always tell him, you got to put I in there, because that's Mark Ibn Shakur Shaheen, where I am,
right.
Mark. Or Shaheen. It's an honor to hear you here on IWDM Radio, William Kareem, a friend and colleague from AM 360 Radio, my first engineer for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and also a first engineer when I hosted the CWSC Roundtable, and he was a successor to the Twin Servant of Peace, Thomas Abdul Salam, as the executive producer for AM 360 Radio. It's an honor and pleasure to have you join us here on this platform, IWDM Radio. You've been listening in. You got a question or comment on some of these things I've said in terms of correct communication to maintain and sustain a healthy, harmonious relationship, and communication is at the top of the list that bring about many divorces in this country. It shouldn't be surprising. Words make people. William.
And, yes, sir.
Talk to me.
Well, I tell you this here, man. Mark, you know, you're a good brother, man. And in the process of being a good brother, the way that you, you know, put it down, man, was, you know, definitely in the most honorable of terms. And I think that the advice that you're basically giving is advice that is good for people who are not who haven't gone insane in this crazy society that we live in.
I'm laughing at that because truth is funny sometimes, but this is an insane society, and this is why it's so important, William. You know that we speak from an Islamic perspective in terms of getting to know certain things that we just didn't know or whatever, and so sometimes we have the problem and issues because we don't know that we don't know that we don't know, but sometimes, oftentimes, we think that we know. So, you know, this information education is very important. This is why Allah put it on my heart the sister station, AM 360, to start a learning lab, a learning lab where you can bring it to the lab in regards to that. You know, William, you know, I've seen here on IWDM Radio, and we're hoping that the other medium platforms will accept the theme, especially those in the community. Imam W.D. Muhammad is Set Yourself Free in 2023 by thinking with the Quran.
I mean, beautiful, beautiful. You're a fortunate person, Mark. You're very fortunate that you can't see the insane world. You're very fortunate. I know you can hear it, but, you know, there's a lot that you can't see. And, you know, just taking into consideration the circumstance and situation with our women, and I'm talking about particularly African-American women, but more particular Muslim African-Americans. As you know, I do a show on Tuesdays on Blog Talk Radio, Al-Islam Community Radio, that you called in on, and that was the thing that reminded me, oh, wow, Mark has that show. I have to call into his show. I do a show called Why Muslim Americans Don't Want to Get Married. We have a lot of single men and a lot of single women in our community, and they're single for a number of reasons, and one of them being that Just like, you know, what's going on in regular life. You know, they get married as Muslims, and things didn't work out for one reason or another, and so it's like, you know, they break up. But, you know, sometimes what's left is a child is left in the relationship. Or, you know, it winds up being a situation where, you know, the husband, I'm speaking particularly about the women now, you know, the husband passes, and then the woman is just out there. But, you know, by herself. So the Quran tells us that men are the protectors and maintainers of women. And the example of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was so beautiful, one of the beautiful things about our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was that, you know, he, you know, when his companions went to war and they may have passed, they may have died, you know, what he did is he showed the example of marrying the, you know, the woman that of the a soldier or the mujahideen that died. And, you know, even though it was only, you know, four women, you know, like they could marry, the thing is that he showed the example. He was the first one to show the example. And then the other Muslims that were with him, you know, started to do the same thing. You know, if the brother passed, you know, they would take the responsibility of being the protector and maintainer of women, you know, that were in the community, you know, which is very important to say. So, you know, we have a lot of, you know, so the question begins, well, why is it that Muslim men and Muslim women don't want to get married? Well, in this day and time, you know, we live in a very unique culture and a unique situation where, you know, many a times, you know, like if the brother's going to jail, if the brother, he'll go to jail, or, you know, he just left, or, you know, he just couldn't get along, and the woman is forced to go out there and be the protector and maintainer of her child and of her situation. And, you know, the society, and because of that, you know, she's become comfortable. Comfortable in what? Comfortable in taking care of herself. So, you know, like she pays her own rent. She pays for the cars. She takes care of the child and all the rest of that. And, so a Muslim man comes and it's like, you know, like, yo, I want to marry you. And, you know, sometimes they just don't feel comfortable because it's like, look, I got this. I'll take care of this myself. And then in the vetting process of the man, and we're talking about the Muslim man. We're talking about a brother who's Muslim and part of the community. And you, the way that they, and I'm telling you, this is what I've heard from sisters, you know, like, you know, and these brothers are crazy. These brothers in the community, these brothers were crazy, you know. Yeah, but sister, is he Muslim? Yeah, he Muslim. Yo, does he make prayer? Yeah. Is he involved in the community? Yeah. Well, why you calling him crazy? You know? So sometimes there's just a checklist that isn't fulfilled by some of the sisters, and because of that, you know, it doesn't happen. And so I totally understand that the way that you're making your presentation as far as, you know, the highest way, you know, to, you know, have a relationship. But sometimes, man, you know, like, it's just that these people that we're dealing with, man, in society are very complicated.
Yes, alhamdulillah. No, you make some very, very valid points and some very sharp points in terms of why this is not happening. I do agree with you. We have to talk about why this is not happening. And actually, this theme, I think, is a very important theme for our community, to set yourself free in 2023 by thinking with the Quran. And so, I, as you well know, our scholarly teacher and leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, he said, words make people. So we have to ask ourselves in the logical conclusion, what words are best to make people in terms of their intellect and their thinking, in terms of their morality, in terms of their emotionality, their rationality, in their social life, in their spirituality? Obviously, the answer is the Quran. It's the Quran. Everybody's operating on a word, or words, a conglomeration of words. And as Imam Muhammad said, words are a container of ideas. We want to have the best idea. And so on the Learning Lab, what we do is that we use the Quran as the base and foundation in terms of saying what it is that Allah has established. And so what it is that Allah has created and what it is that Allah has established, that is His. He's the owner of it. It is imperative for us to learn, to understand, what its purpose is. What its purpose is. So I know we're right at the top of the hour, but I do hope you stick and stay and don't stray away, because we got a special MGM roundtable coming up here. Brother William Kareem, I think you're going to enjoy this next production, because this is a holiday that most people are not cognizant of and don't know about. It's one of the world's greatest scientists that happened to be of our ethnic group, and that's Dr. Mm-hmm. George Washington Carver. So I got a special guest, Rashid Salam, who's a walking encyclopedia and has a lot of great information as to when this holiday was established that most of us don't even know about, back in 1945. So please press 1 and, you know, tune in and listen in. I want to thank the radio listening audience for this Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab in terms of tuning in. Let's make dua for our beloved sister, Quran Shakir, that she'll be back next week, and that you will be able to hear some of the role-playing from the scripts that we'll have, and you will be the critics in terms of saying what it is that we did right in the communication, what it is that we did not do right. And so hopefully some of the notes that you've taken from the previous learning labs here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, you'll be able to utilize. It'll be an open book that you can use in terms of being critics for next week, and we say to that, inshallah, meaning God willing. And so before we transition to the special MGM roundtable on Dr. George Washington Carver, I'd like to say tune in tomorrow, which is Salatul Jumu'ah Day here on IWDM Radio, as those who are immobilized and can't get out and about, you can come back with email Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sair, from Indianapolis, Indiana, at Al Noor Islamic Center. And Salatul Jumu'ah begins at 2 p.m. Eastern. It's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. And so I always like to begin each and every production, here on IWDM Radio with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ila ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that He has no partners nor associates in His rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, over 1,444 years ago, is indeed the seal of the prophets. He is Allah's humble servant and His noble and generous messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation of the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host and I'm the producer of the MGM Roundtable. And I'd like to extend to our national and international audience the greetings of peace, the peace that only Almighty God, Allah, can give, and becomes an obligation on the giver, as well as the recipient of that greeting of peace, Assalamu alaikum. And for those of you who tune in on Thursday, I know this is a rarity for you to be talking about the MGM Roundtable because it always airs each and every Wednesday. After the Sister Learning Lab, which is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, but because this is a special day, especially for Muslim African Americans and African Americans just in general, and actually for the whole country of America because of the great contribution of the world's greatest scientist, Dr. George Washington Carver. Probably one of the only few scientists that actually acknowledged the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, in the character that he possessed as a scientist. And so I have with me tonight is our very special guest. I call him the walking encyclopedia, the walking encyclopedia when it comes to Dr. George Washington Carver. As we had a special just yesterday on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and that topic was what every parent and child should know about Dr. George Washington Carver. But tonight, we want to talk about how and why this was established in terms of a national holiday back in 1945 on January the 5th. Why it is that so many people are not aware of it? And so, as Imam Muhammad has said, we can't look to others to tell us his story. We have to tell our story. So with that, my very distinguished, esteemed guests, I'd like to welcome him to the special edition of the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, my good brother and friend from the STL, Rashid Salam. Assalamu alaikum, Rashid.
Wa alaikum assalam, my good brother. How you doing today?
Man, I'm all pumped up.
Yeah, let me say one thing before you get started. For Mark, for those of you who are on the line right now, pick up your phone three ways. Do whatever you have to do to let everybody know in your family, especially your children, for a special programming tonight. I just want to let you know that you're in for a treat. So with that, Mark, mic is yours. Thank you for having me.
Well, you just took the words out of my mouth. You know, in regards to that. And also I want to say it to our radio listening audience, we asked them to stand by probably before you got in, that there would be extension tonight for this special presentation of the MGM Roundtable. And also want to say that we do invite you to ask questions or make comments to our special guest tonight, Rashid Salam, who's a walking encyclopedia when it comes to Dr. George Washington Carver. Want to say to our radio listening audience, we are aware that many of you listen in by way of the internet. We want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. You know, stay right there. And for you to be involved in this special MGM roundtable, you do have to call into the studio if you have a question or you have a comment. Or what you're going to be hearing tonight, if it will be resonating with you. And I know a lot of things that Rashid Salam is going to be saying tonight is going to be resonating with you. We do want you to call into the studio. That number is 714-816-4673. And even those who are tuned into the studio, this is a good opportunity is make the introduction to Rashid Salam and the topic tonight. You understand, to text a family member, text a friend, text a colleague, text a neighbor, text a community member to tune in, listen in. If you have children, they should be tuned in and listen in because there's a lot of valuable information that we just didn't know. Now, you may have heard of Dr. George Washington Carver, but as somebody said, it was just surface information. I think it was Amir Muhammad said it was just surface information. But a lot of the pertinent information that we need to know, we don't know. So to actually have the value and the respect for this man, we have to have that knowledge. And so he very, very valuable, not only to us and what it was that he's done, not only to this country, but to the whole world of humanity. So it's very, very important. So once again, I want to welcome you to this platform of the MGM Roundtable. Rashid Salam. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam, Mark. Thank you again for having me. I want to open up with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know, I just have to do that because I feel so honored to have the pleasure of talking about our Muslim brother. And I have to say that because we know the word Muslim means one who submits his will to the will of Allah. And if you're on the phone and going to be on the phone for the rest of this program, you're going to realize that we're talking about a Muslim. We talk about one who has total submission and given his total submission. And the world knew about this man. So it's not something that he was so amazing that he was driven. He was providing tools and resources that God gave, because during this time period in his existence, he was talking about things that people had never heard of before with a new language, Mark, with a language that he never heard before. So I just wanted to open up and share that in particular. So would you like me to get started? Or you want to ask me some questions?
Well, I'm just say this, you know, for those who may be tuning in for the first time, and I do concur with you that he was a Muslim in that he conformed to God's will. In terms of his purpose for being. But I also want to say that's very, very important. And we had this on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, that he was consciously regardful of Allah's word in creation. This is very important. I don't know that he ever read the Quran or not. I can't say that. But it was Imam Muhammad that once held up the Quran, and he said, this is the little book that points us to the big book. And when he pointed, he was making reference to the natural creation. This is very, very important, what it is I'm saying. The natural creation. Dr. George Washington Carver was conscious, regardful of the natural creation that Allah has created, and because of his heart, his intention, his pure intention, his motivation, and also his desire to be a servant and to serve humanity. That's how you serve God. This is what Allah blessed him to be able to do. It's remarkable. With that, I turn you over to our special guest tonight, very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam. He's going to give you a lot of information in regards to Dr. George Washington Carver. So at this time, it's all yours. Rashid Salam.
There was no better way to open that up than the way you open it up, brother, because he definitely looked into the creation in all his ways. Let me just do this real quick. I'm just going to give you a little substance information off the top, share with you some of the things that most people don't know. So I'll start with the Public Law 290, and then I'll share with you how I've been blessed to come into who he is and what has happened to me and the things that he has done that affected me and still has affected me to this day. George Washington Carver was born in 1860-something, however you want to call it, and he passed away in January the 5th, 1943. I'll get to the contributions prior to that. But up on his passing in 1943, I want you to hear these words. He was honored within weeks with a national monument. Now, we know for a fact we weren't in politics. We know for a fact politically we weren't even involved in any shape, form, or fashion because they didn't allow us to vote hardly back in that time period. So who were these people who thought enough of an African-American man to give him a national federal day of recognition? We got to keep that in mind. So on December 28, 1945, the 79th Congress, under the President Harry S. Truman, who was also from Missouri as George Washington Carver was, he passed the federal law declaring January the 5th, his passing date, his transition date, shall I say, to be a national recognized day, the first African-American in our country who was given a federal holiday. We didn't have to fight anybody. We didn't have to march for anybody. They thought enough of him. So who is they? 79th Congress. All Europeans. What did he do to have them put this on the books as a constitutional right. All flags on federal buildings are supposed to be flown at half mast today. Today is January 5th. This is his recognition day. For years, this was done through the U.S. Department of Agriculture and other federal buildings. They actually performed these particular duties and obligations according to this law. Then over time, and you know, things always fade away. Well, we don't get behind the things that we need to get behind, but very few of us knew this day was possible. After his death, all different types of things happened. I have to share with you, before I get into some of his works, what happened. Once they designed the George Washington Carver Monument and made it a national institution, in Missouri, where he lived at that time, before he went to Tuskegee, Alabama, they designated 210 acres as a national park in Diamond, Missouri, honoring the works of Dr. George Washington Carver. 210 acres. He has a statue. He has all, it's a whole park. The National Park Service made sure that happened. Also, one of his constituents that we have to, he participated with Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, Theodore Roosevelt, Harry S. Truman, all these people honored him in such a way that also in Dearborn, Michigan, at the Ford Museum Park, Henry Ford built and replicated his cabin that he had in Diamond, Missouri. And every single piece of wood in that cabin came from a different state, labeled. He had wood from Arizona, wood from Colorado. Everywhere there was lumber, he designated a cabin that he built, and every single stick of lumber represented the 50 states in this United States. This is an amazing thing. There's a submarine named after him. In 1997, the Science Institute dedicated a building in Beltsville, Maryland, called the Carver Science Center, named after him. He's also has museums. Historic Tuskegee, his Carver building on Tuskegee University is at the Carver Museum right there on Tuskegee University. If you go in that museum, it will flat out absolutely blow your mind. We have to have that particular experience sometimes in our lives. And it's just a remarkable of the attention that was given to him, not by us, because we already knew who he was in the South. We already knew the work that he did and the salvation that he provided for saving the agricultural South. We already knew that he was a chemist. We already knew that he was a scientist, a farmer. We already knew that he possessed things that we didn't even know anything about: biology, chemistry, agriculturalist. He was an inventor, a musician. He was such an artist. He painted with his fingers. And he won first place in the World Fair in Chicago in the 1930s. His painting still hangs there. He was a humanitarian. You know, he taught the Bible, but when he taught the Bible, he never referred to the word Jesus. He always referred to Mr. Creator. Whenever he spoke about the Supreme Being, he said, Mr. Creator told me that. Mr. Creator influenced me for that. So this chemist, this inventor, this agriculturalist, this musician, this artist, this humanitarian, he crocheted so well that all he would do is look at something and he would recreate the crochet. Period. He was putting crochets on women's clothing back in the day. He looked at a spider web and actually crocheted the spider web exactly as it was. So we know this man was special. He came up with fossil fuel. He created plastic. He created so many different things that contribute to this country, not only just in industry, in the beverage industry, in the cosmetics industry, in the dyes and paint and stain industry, in the food industry, in the medicine and the medical industry. He came up with the cure for venereal disease. He came up with a cure for bronchitis. He treated gout. He had a castor oil that was so natural that it really solved the problem. We remember the castor oil. We had to get them oranges right behind. But he created a very similar castor oil. You know, rubbing alcohol. Not rubbing oil. He treated people with polio. And I know that's to be a fact because Teddy Roosevelt had polio, and he should come and make trips to Tuskegee University to be rubbed down by the massages that George Washington Carver did. Now, before I get into any of those other things, I just want you to think about what I just said to you. Who is this man who gave all credit to the Creator? He said, if you ever want to have a microphone to God, get up early in the morning, just look up in the sky and have a conversation. That was the way he felt. That was the way he felt. So he was doing positive prayer back in the day. We didn't know anything about it. He was awarded. Listen, he was awarded all types of awards in London, in Sweden, in Africa. He has two. Hear my words. Nobody in this world since this country been existed has ever had two U.S. postage stamps named after him. Actually named after him, actually issued. There's a 50-cent piece, an actual 50-cent piece. I'm looking at it right now with his picture on it. There's another 50-cent piece with he and Booker T. Washington on that I have in my possession at the time. We just don't know how powerful we were. And he was just one of our great historians. As we prepare to go into African American History Month, we need to really pay attention up to our children and let them know the substance and the foundation that they had. And somehow, some way, we have forgotten, or we haven't done the research, or we haven't considered doing those particular things that would make our children's lives better as well as make our lives better. So, Mark, I'm going to stop right there.
I tell you, I want to say alhamdulillah, and for those who don't know, alhamdulillah means that the praise and thanks belongs to God first and foremost. And Rashid Salam, I already told you, he's a walking encyclopedia when it comes to the greatest scientist the world has ever known, Dr. George Washington Carver, in terms of that. I want to say to those of you who may just be tuning in tonight and says, wow, I thought that the program is over here on IWDM Radio, and usually, typically, on a Thursday night after the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Karan Shakir and yours truly, Mark Shaheed, that would be the end of the programming. But tonight is a special MGM roundtable. That is the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, and I have as my very distinguished, esteemed guest, Rashid Salam, the walking encyclopedia on Dr. George Washington Carver. I want to say to our radio listening audience, this is your opportunity. I know that Rashid has said a mouthful. He still have more to say to you. So we want this to be an interactive roundtable tonight, and I know he said some things that have resonated with you that you just didn't know. And one of the things, and you need to press one in your queue. You want to ask a question or make a comment on anything that Rashid Salam has said. For those of you who listen in by the way of the internet, we would like for you to be a part of this roundtable too. But for you to do that, you have to come away from the internet, pick up your calling apparatus. You know what that is. And you need to dial 714-816-4673. Once again, that's 714-816-4673. If we cannot get excited about this information that we never heard before, then it's something that's wrong with us in our soul to hear this type of information. And while you decided to press one, I'm pressing one, and I'm the host of the MGM Roundtable here on IWDM Radio, is that referring to Allah, God, as Mr. Creator, not using the word Jesus, because he didn't relate to that. He related to the Creator. And why is that so very important, you know, Rashid? Because Imam Muhammad, in teaching us, he said, out of all the attributes, the one that is most vitally important is the attribute of Al-Khaliq. Al-Khaliq means the Creator. So this was actually George Washington Carver's actually showing the ultimate respect, by referring to God, Allah, the God. If you're not Muslim, that only means the God. But the God, the God who what? Who created everything that we see and everything we don't see. And Allah blessed Dr. George Washington Carver to be able to see a whole lot in the visible creation and in the invisible natural creation. So I wanted to get some commentary from him, but I'm also looking for you to press one. How can you listen to this information and not respond? So, Rashid Salam, I know you're doing double duty tonight.
All
but
right.
Is anybody with their hands up? And if it is, let's go to them and see what they have to say. I ask of you here, if you would, Rashid.
Okay. We do have some hands raised here. So I'm going to start with 718-749. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open. 718-749.
That's got to be my brother, William Kareem.
Alhamdulillah, Abu Alameen. This has been, you know, great hearing. Rashid, assalamu alaikum. I wanted to give you greetings. But, you know, there was much I didn't understand. I mean, of course, you know, I know about the name George Washington Carver. And we know what he did as far as the peanut is concerned. What I find interesting about it is that, you know, he did what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told to do with the first revelation, because the first revelation told Prophet Muhammad to read, and Muhammad said, I can't read. But then, you know, like, you know, in the study and research that I've done, read does not only, you know, in the English language, we understand read is, you know, like pick up a book or something like that. But Allah was actually telling him to read the creation, ponder the creation, take a look at. And the thing is, he said, read in the name of your Lord what I created, meaning what Allah created. You know, and you know, like, that's what George Washington Carver did, man. He read the creation. And that remark that you made, Mark, about Imam W. Dean Muhammad, I'd never heard that, but I can witness it, where he said that this little book is a relation.
This little book points us to the big book. That's what he said. He held up the Quran. He said, he pointed to the Quran. He said, this little book points us to the big book. And he was talking about the natural creation, the universe that Allah has created. And those of us who read the Quran, we know that Allah says in there that he uses every similitude to reach you, to teach you, and it points us to the natural creation. There was things that was revealed in the Quran that man didn't know until he read the Quran, and then he went to see if it was true, if it was reality. I'll stop there.
Yeah, that's exactly what George Washington Carver was able to do. And I witnessed that because, you know, like, you know, one of the things that one of my pastimes is to be out in the creation and try to read it. That you know, as far as the flowers, as far as the whole of the creation, is to, you know, to read it. And that's how I became a performing arts instructor in teaching performing arts to students. And that's what I actually try to do with the students, to make them aware that, you know, that Allah is the greatest artist. Allah is the greatest artist. But there's a question that I did want. So that's enough. But there's a question I wanted to ask Rashid.
Yes, sir.
And I don't know. Well, two things first. First, that this January 5th day.
Yes.
So I guess they did that for a little. Was it a national holiday or just a local holiday? And it's obvious, do they still do that holiday? That's number one. And number two, the other question is, with the advent of discovery of the peanut and all the things that the peanut can do, Does George Washington Carver get some kind of compensation, him and his family get some compensation for that? Do you know if anything like that exists?
Yeah, that's powerful, brother. You know, I've often asked that question. But the January 5th is a national federal holiday. This is one of my motivation factors. It's been a holiday, but it's not on the memorial calendar. So what I've been doing the last couple of years is preparing to present this to the federal government, that why isn't this day not on the memorial calendar? So when the calendar comes out of the year, January 5th should be a holiday. It's not fair. So I'm focusing on that right now. And inshallah, 24, I'm sure sometime this year you'll find out there'll be an announcement made from the White House that day will be placed on the memorial calendar through the efforts that I've been working on and the programs that I'm working on. The White House currently right now has a George Washington Carver garden at the White House. Right now as we speak, they have that particular garden. Now, for the information on his great works, if I have the time, and I know I'm not going to have the time today to share with you some of the phenomenal things that he's done. I talked about it Wednesday on air, where some of the dyes and the paint and the paints and the stains that he created, he could not, back in that time period, patent anything. Standard paint started from the work of Dr. George Washington Carver. Plastics, cosmetics. Tuskegee University should be the richest university on the planet Earth. But because at that time, because of Jim Crow laws and the things that they were sending us through, they didn't allow African-American people to patent much. You know, but Tuskegee should have had access to all the things that came from his medicinal work, from his general work, from his paint and dyes, his food. And everybody know, look at George Carver, he was the peanut man. No, far beyond peanut. What he did with the peanut was created over 300 different products and applications from the peanut. We had 118 applications on the sweet potato. We only had over 100 applications from soybeans. And we just getting started. George Washington Carver was a steward, man. He was a steward for the earth. His biggest contribution came in agriculture. He was an environmental steward. We talked about his great work on saving the agricultural South back in the early days, because the South had the worst land and soil treatment in the country. He created the conditioning to take the soil and make it fertile. It was George. He saved the agricultural South. And all the work that came from that, my brother, he did not get any of the benefits. He didn't get any of the patents. He never married, never had any children. So he left his whole savings that he worked for. He worked for $125 a month for 47 years at Tuskegee University.
Rashid, let them know about what he was actually offered and what he could have gotten had he decided, you understand, to accept that offer, whereas he could have, when he would have transitioned, would have been a very, very wealthy man, and even checks that was found that was uncashed.
He never had. You know, Thomas Edison, back in 1938-39, I believe, offered him $100,000 a year to come to work for him. That was one of the offers. We know Henry Ford offered him money to come to work for him. He turned down $100,000 a year for $125 a month. And the statement he made when he turned it down, he said, "No, I can't take that. Because if I take that money, I'm going to forget my people." He had that type of commitment on helping and providing passion. His service extended beyond the classroom. He traveled the country to help people change their lives and provide food and nutrition and all the things that he talked about. He said, there's no such thing as waste. Nothing in the universe should be wasted. So that reminds me of what we talk about when it comes to science or quantum physics. There's no empty spaces in the universe. He believed in keeping everything. This man was a timeless messenger for humanity. That's what he represented. So I must say this, when I look at Tuskegee and the state that it's in today, if they only had an opportunity just to prove or get some of his patents approved, they would be the richest university in the United States of America. But guess what? Tuskegee University is the only historic site in the United States of America, and it's only because of George Washington Carver and Booker T. Washington. So I hope I answered
that. That's excellent. Thank you so much, Brother William. Some excellent questions that asking some great, great information that was shared with you and our whole radio listening audience here on IWDM Radio. William, please press 1 as you exit the queue so we can keep the studio board clear here. And if you have a question or comment, this is your time. You've heard a lot of information already in regard to Dr. George Washington Carver. This should really pique your interest because, as Rashid Salam has said, most even indigenous Muslim American community here and African Americans, of course, have been seeing him as the peanut man because that's what it is that we're given. But he's much more. He's much more than a man that just looked at the peanut. Here's a man that studied the creation. Here's a man, you understand, that acknowledged the Creator. Here's a man that referred to the Creator as Mr. Creator, didn't use Jesus' name or what. Here's a man that rose early in the morning. Here's a man that respected God's creation. Here's a man that spoke to God's creation. And just as William Kareem said, you understand, the first revelation that came to the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of all things that could be revealed. It was revealed to the seal of the prophets, which is Prophet Muhammad, but which is also an indication of what it is that Allah wants us to do. And you know, Dr. George Washington Carver, I don't know if he had a Quran or what, but we do know that he had the right concept in terms of being able to realize, to have the real eyes to see his purpose for being. And it fascinated him in terms of this natural creation and looking at what it is Allah has created, and he looked into it. As a matter of fact, it was Imam W.D. Muhammad Rashid that when he coined the phrase, a scientist is seeing to this, into this. He called the scientist to see into this. But Dr. George Washington Carver was actually a tool. And so the imams say that scientists are a tool, see, to be used in terms of uncovering and discovering what is in the natural creation. And they're not to get the credit for that. And Dr. George Washington Carver did not want to get the credit for that. But he was so very humble, as you say, and so very grateful that what God had blessed him with. Some people thought that maybe at that time him talking to plants, but the reality is that creation talks to you. So if you read something, it actually speaks to you, if in fact that you understand that it has something to say. So Allah, Imam Muhammad say, he speaks through the natural creation. He teaches man through the natural creation, and he teaches man through the book of Revelation.
Okay, that's that inspiration. That's those vibrations, you know. So we don't, sometimes when you don't submit your will, and sometimes when we don't grow and develop our minds and get our concentration, we don't realize that there's vibrations going on all the time. And being that he was inspired by God, so that's why he was a musician. Very few people knew that he was a musician and an artist. So all
that's
these
right.
skills. Now, let me just give you a little bit about his faith. I'm going to take another call. This faith. He said God is going to reveal to us things we never heard of before. But if we put our hands in here, you don't need any books because he will reveal to you what it is that your mythology is and also make it possible to inspire you to create something new. And without God, we cannot do anything. We will be helpless. That's faith. Let me take another call.
Let's go to another caller there.
Yes,
that's a powerful, very, very powerful stand by Dr. George Washington Carver. Let's see what the caller have on their mind, Rashid.
We got 678-572. State your name, tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Calling from the ATL. Spotlancer.
Alhamdulillah, so we're glad to hear that voice. Yes, sir. Hey, we're glad to hear that voice.
Where is it that
you like
tonight.
To say to our very distinguished esteemed guest?
Well, I have a lot to say. I have a lot to say because I was born at Tuskegee Institute.
All right. Is that right?
I was born there.
Alhamdulillah.
Tuskegee Institute had a hospital called John Andrew Hospital. I was born at that hospital.
Alhamdulillah.
It was
so
a hospital
has,
on that campus.
So significance to you then, Instructor Abdul Shaheed?
Say again?
I said this has special significance to you.
Oh, yes. Very, very special. Matter of fact, our school, our elementary school and high school, it was a requirement every year to visit Tuskegee Institute as well as the Carver Museum. Every year. Our students. I lived in this city about 12 miles from Tuskegee called Auburn, with the home of Auburn University.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those schools, Auburn University and Tuskegee Institute, now Tuskegee University, had an agriculture program where they worked together. Agriculture program. Tuskegee Institute had the best agriculture program as well as the best veterinary medicine program in the country.
Really?
Veterinary medicine program in the country. So I want to share a couple of other things that about our brother, Dr. George Washington Carver,
mm-hmm.
and Rashid, Brother Rashid is doing an excellent job in sharing things with him.
Oh, yes.
And one of the things he did, he never cashed his check that was paid to him by Tuskegee Institute. Never cashed it. The whole time he worked there. The whole time he worked there.
So about how many checks can it be guesstimated?
They found piles of checks. When he passed, they found piles of checks.
$25,000 with
them.
A check sitting around. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Another thing, he's the reason why there are agriculture extension services all across this country.
That's right.
He and his student had a vehicle. They put together a vehicle, and they would travel out in the rural area from Tuskegee, teaching the farmer how to grow food. Taught them.
Called the Jessup wagon. That was called the Jessup wagon.
Exactly. Absolutely. Mm. And they still have that wagon there in the Carver Museum at Tuskegee Institute today.
Mm.
That's right.
Wow.
Those students had their own laundromat. They clean and wash their own clothes and made. Of course, we already know about them making the bricks, but they made everything.
Right.
Yes.
And that laboratory of Dr. George Washington Carver is still intact right now today at Tuskegee Institute,
yes,
Tuskegee University.
Yes.
All you have to do is just go there, and you would just be amazed.
Mm.
You would just be amazed. His food processing, the method and technique he used to process food has gone out to space.
Yes,
they
sir.
Used his method for the astronaut to be able to eat in space.
That's right. Hydroponics, brother. Come on.
It's absolutely amazing. The word plant, P-L-A-N-T, that we now call factories, they also call them plants. Came from him. Because he discovered that plants are able to produce their own food, and plant is like a factory that produces things.
Yes.
So the word, the milk fact that they call factory, plant, I'm going to the plant. That's where I work at. I work at this plant. Came from him. Dr. George Washington Carver. Amazing the many things that he did and the contribution he not only made to the United States, but throughout the world.
Indeed.
The fact that he made all these different things from peanuts, it wasn't just peanuts. It was other vegetables, too. That's well. Well, I just wanted to share those things, and our brother Rashid, you did a marvelous job. This is a person that our people need to know more and more about. Of course,
right.
We've taken so much for granted,
and
we've had number of heroes, and we stand on their shoulders that have come to the African-American people. And many of our young people don't even have a clue about what they've done.
Don't even
have a clue.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Let the callers know, if they ever have a chance to go to Tuskegee, you know, there's so many different things at Tuskegee. The Tuskegee Airmen.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
You know, the landing field. All those things are still there. They didn't disappear.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
They're still there.
I mean, yes, sir. And I appreciate you, brother. You see, this is what we have to do. And that's why I started the program called the Call the Scholars Program, and I was in California.
Yes.
And I'm not going to have the time to get into that tonight, but this conversation will continue. Programs will continue throughout the country because I'm going to take his name cannot. They won't let it die. They coined a day after him, so we know that's not going to happen. I just want to give a couple more statements.
Yes,
to bring
okay, we need to mute that
sure.
mic there. Thank you so much, Instructor Abdul Shaheed. Yes, sir.
Assalamu
alaikum.
You know,
mute that mic. There's some feedback there. All right.
This is how
okay.
you know, his
do we have any other callers in the queue? That's,
I'm going to take the calls right now. I'm going to make this one statement. I'm going to bring 810-399. We have language that we never heard of before, and some of that language is mycology, botany, the herbalist who have created. He gave a whole new different name to that type of thing, and so I'm not going to get into a lot of that stuff tonight. So much it would take
Rashid,
me 4 or 5 hours. Just,
yes, Rashid, I need you to move your speaking apparatus away from the studio.
That's
some big feedback. Okay.
That was the line
Thank
I had. I just repeated that line.
Okay.
So I'll make
All right.
sure you go back to
so Right. Let's
so
go to
much.
The callers. Let's see what they have on their mind. Yeah. We get some feedback from our radio listening audience. Please open up the mic.
We have 810-399.
I'm to the line. Assalamu alaikum. This is the preacher Hadi calling from Michigan.
I know that voice. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Preacher Hadi. You've been listening in to Rashid Salam. This is a special edition of the MGM Roundtable tonight. This man is so very, very special to us. And this is a holiday for us, even if it's not recognized on the National Memorial Calendar. It's important to us because we know that it was designated as a holiday back in 1945 on January the 5th. And so we thought it would be befitting to have a special production here on IWDM radio in terms of Dr. George Washington Carver. So you have a question or comment that you'd like to make to our special guest tonight, Rashid Salam? So much information to Preacher Hadi. What would you like to start?
First, greetings to you, Brother Mark, to Rashid Salam, to the IWDM audience. I'm telling you, I am just blown away. And guess what? You're absolutely right. I was like, I was kind of feeling sad because I had missed Wednesday's the round table. And then I was just like, well, don't worry about it. Just go on tonight, you know, and this don't get upset. Just remember next week. And here it is. Look at when you said it was a special on the MGM Roundtable, I'm like, oh, I'm goody love. This is so wonderful. And Brother Rashid, let me tell you something. You got it going on with that information. That is so beautiful. You know, we should think when we hear the names of these important men or people, because for some women too, sometimes before we were, if we could take the time out, and we need to, so we could find a little bit more about them. But this is a wonderful thing that when you come on and say, hey, I got this information, I'm well acquainted with it, I'm going to share this. And it's
right.
just so exciting. I'm sitting here, and it did prompt me to pull up, you know, go here to Wikipedia because I love them and pull them up and get a little information on. And I was astounded to find out that that people called him doctor, but he was not a doctor in terms of having received an official doctorate degree. But you would think
right.
he was, and all of this great knowledge
right.
and expertise that he had, you know. But he did eventually get an honorary doctorate.
Yeah, he got an honorary degree.
Science. Yes, sir.
He was a master teacher. He was a master teacher.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
This is so beautiful. I just wanted to commend you on giving us that information, and you, Brother Mark, for always having That's why I always follow the round table, because there's always some interesting information that you don't know. And I appreciate that, Connie.
And we want to thank you, the Praise ID, for calling in. She is one of the distinguished, esteemed hosts on our sister station, AM 360, each and every Saturday night, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. for those of you who are listening in by way of the West Coast, Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab. So please tune in and check in with the Praise ID on AM 360 Radio. That number, call that number is 515-605-9891. That's 515-605-9891. It's designed for new Shahadas, people that actually want to learn about the religion of Al-Islam, but also, as she say, seasoned Muslims, seasoned believers. It's an excellent learning lab to actually just refreshing what it is that we may have learned. So that's each and every Saturday night. We thank you for calling in tonight, the Praise of Hadi, and continue to listen in. And we want to share also with you that the theme for IWDM Radio is this. And you might want to let the sister station know about this. This is for the community of Imam Wahdi Muhammad. Set yourself free in 2023 by thinking with the Quran. This will help to liberate many people in the individual life, marriage life, family life, and community life. Set yourself free in 2023 by thinking with the Quran. No better way to think with the Quran. Thank you so much, dear sister, the priest ID. And keep on doing what you do. Like you said, you do. Alhamdulillah.
We got several more callers on here.
Okay, let's go to the callers. And we'll ask the callers if, in fact, that they will keep it to a minute and a half, if you would. Your question or comment, please.
Okay, we have 908-296. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
This is Imam Shahid Abdullah. I'm calling from Roosevelt.
As-salamu alaykum, Imam Shahid Abdullah. Yes, sir. Welcome.
Yes, sir.
You got a question or comment?
Hey, Mark, this is my historian here. This is my historian, okay? Go ahead, doctor.
Well, I was just calling in to thank Brother Rashid who are doing this work of bringing out information and knowledge we need to verify and solidify the African-American culture, because our culture produces a lot of things, and they sweep a lot of that under the rug. And Connor G. Woodson is one of the people that we need to know about, and certainly George Washington Carver as a scientist and a scholar. It's necessary for them to be seen and understood as part of the African-American culture, because we all are producing this powerful culture. And what Rashid is doing now is verifying, this is verifying that the culture of the African-American people exists with great scholars and with great people who have been hidden by another culture, but at the same time, we're going to bring it through. And responsibility is on us. The responsibility is not on the European American to tell these stories. And what Brother Rashid is doing is right on time. So I just want to thank you all for making this possible and doing some great work, because those of us who understand and feel the power of culture, and especially the African-American culture, we consider ourselves blessed to have people like you working with us. So thank you.
Imam Shahid Abdullah, and you one of those great persons that we have in our life and time, the great outstanding work as Griot, and the outstanding publications that you have brought to the forefront and have helped to awaken consciousness of our people and other people. You know, truth is truth, and it's not just designated for just one ethnic group. Of course, we really need all it is that we can get because we're behind. And the outstanding publication that your most recent publication is one that I endorse that we should really get. And so if you would, I'll give you a minute, if you would, your latest publication that give the book title and how they can get it. Just give you a minute because we're running short on time and we do have some more people in the queue.
Well, I actually called just to thank you and Brother Rashid, but I certainly think that the work we're doing is very important. And my last book, Uncovering the Scheme, Preventing the Evolution of the African-American Culture, that I was bombarded with information from history that I almost took my breath away. It almost caused me to hesitate every time I wrote a word to think of how powerful our people were. Think about how powerful the culture itself is and was, and it's still evolving. And the European American is doing everything they can to abort this culture. But people like yourself, Brother Rashid, and the little work I do, we're going to make our culture known to the world, and the world is going to have to, we're going to have to nudge them over to let them know there's a new people in this creation.
Right.
There's a new people created here in America by Allah. See,
alhamdulillah. Brother
Imam,
how can our radio listening audience purchase this latest publication, Uncovering the Scheme? Can you give a number or email address or something?
Brother Rashid, you can contact Brother Rashid and also your station. But get my books on Amazon. Go to Amazon and put my name in, Shahid Abdullah, or the name of the book, and you go right to it and you can order. If you order directly from me, I can even autograph them for you. My number is 908-296-2558. That's 908-296-2558. So thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you so much, Ma'am Shahid Abdullah. He has been here on IWDM Radio. So we actually endorse all of his publications. You can go there. You can see them. You can order that. I guarantee you won't be disappointed. It's an eye-opening publication that Allah has blessed him. And he's one of our great learned people in the Association of Imam W.D. Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum. Press 1, Imam Shahid Abdullah, and go out of the queue. Come on, Rashid. Who else we have left?
Well, we have 773-222. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum.
This is Brother Jahed Shahid Abdul Aziz of Stone Mountain, Georgia.
Brother Jahed, welcome to IWDM Radio and welcome to a special edition of the MGM Roundtable. It's good to hear your voice. You got a question or a comment?
Comment in relative to George Washington Carver, something that Imam Waterfordine Muhammad stated. If not, that might be the exact word verbatim, but I believe I would get the essence of what he said.
Okay.
Imam Waterfordine Muhammad said that there are two scientists. There is the true scientist, and there is the mad scientist. One of them goes into creation, and he sees the wonders of Allah's creation. And he's fascinated, and when he comes upon something that stumps him, he humbly submits that there is a power beyond my human power.
Mm-hmm.
The second scientist, the mad scientist, goes into the creation and sees the wonders of Allah's creation, the beauty of Allah's creation, the unfolding of Allah's creation. But when he comes upon something that baffles him, instead of submitting, he continues to grapple with it, and this is the one that causes problems in the creation, the mad scientist.
Yes,
George Washington Carver is that true scientist who submitted to the greatness of Allah, that there was a divine power beyond his human power. That's my comment.
Thank you, right. Brother. Thank you, Brother Jahan. Thank you so much. And continue to call in and listen in. So, alhamdulillah, thank you so much. Outstanding quotation from our scholarly leader, teacher, Imam Wahid-ud-Din Muhammad. Thank you so much. So we know the difference between the true scientist and the mad scientist, and Imam W.D. Muhammad differentiated. Thank you so much, Brother Jahan. Press 1 as you go out, Brother Jahan. Let's go, Rashid. Any more callers in the queue?
Okay, no, we don't, and we have very little time left. And I just
we have very little time left. So, Rashid, I'm give you. I said we got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes. I'm going to give you all of that time to wrap up. You got a minute and a half, 2 minutes to wrap up with your closing statement, and I'm going to try to squeeze in a few announcements here before we.
I think I have one more caller, Mark. I believe.
Okay. All right. But then, caller, I need you to – you got to be quick. Like 30 seconds, 45 seconds, please.
Okay. We have 773-449. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
I sound like when I was sick of pins and needles, hoping that I can get in. I'm so inspired, and I just can't hide it. And I said, I thank Allah for you, Brother Rashid, for you, Brother Mark, for a platform like this here. And what it attests to me in the message that we should get, that Allah's magnificence can bring be for all of us if we submit our will to Allah, listen to the inner spirit. And it's just like he says, Brother George Washington Carver, and thank you, Brother Rashid, for yesterday and today. But just know that Allah... which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? He don't ask much from just to be, stay in tune, like God conscious, and remember Him, and you remember Assalamualaikum. Thank you.
Assalamualaikum. Thank you, Amir Muhammad, for calling in with that comment and everything. Always one of my core listeners, always encouraging, and also recognizing the benefit of all it is that Allah has blessed us with. And Rashid Salam, give you about minute and a half here to give your closing statement. What would you like to leave the radio listeners on? I know all the questions couldn't be asked and all the information couldn't be given, but you did an outstanding job with the time that we had. Rashid, your closing comment.
I just like to say to listen to the audience, just plug in on the internet and pull up Dr. George Washington Carver, and you'll find out a lot of the information I'm talking about today. But, you know, I just want to, you know, his quotes stimulate me so much, you know, and I want to close with my brother Imam Shaheed's book. He says, take a look in the mirror. Take a deep look in the mirror. Where there is no vision, there is no hope. Nothing is more beautiful than the loveliness of the universe before sunrise. And I like to close with this statement. Start where you are, with what you have, make something out of it, and never be satisfied. And we can continue this. And those of you who like to bring me on other shows or schools or whatever you may want to do, please, my number is 650-669-0458. That's 650-669-0458. And I come with whatever I have from the bottom of my heart, and I'm promoting African-American culture. We just have to do that. And this is one of the men in my repertoire that I just love, because it's something about him that resonates with me. And it's something about his history and the people he dealt with, like Booker T. Washington, Frederick Douglass, and the fact that he was involved in Black Wall Street. He was there.
Yes.
He and Booker Washington both. So you can see how we have been able to grow with what someone has taught us and given us. And I just love the new language. And while we scared this European that that's what he saw us being who we supposed to be, he couldn't deal with it. So he had to put legislation in office. He had to put rules and regulations in office to stop us from overwhelming what they didn't know about us. So with that, thank you so much, Mark.
Alaikum as-salam to you. And just want to say to you, Rashid Salam, and to the radio listening audience, most certainly Dr. George Washington Carver personified a man that knew his purpose for being. And as a wordologist, the word purpose is people understand the revealed plan of successful existence. And for those, you understand individually, that Allah has turned each to a goal, it was Dr. George Washington Carver who understood and realized his goal. So when we look at the word purpose, it's a personal understanding of the revealed plan of successful existence. Some people come here, they never know their purpose, so they never leave anything of value behind. But it was Dr. George Washington Carver who understood his purpose. He had a personal understanding of the revealed plan. What revealed plan? The revealed plan that God had for him specifically in his successful existing here. And because he understood that, and because he gave so much back to the world of humanity, Dr. George Washington Carver will forever live in the minds and the hearts of people of the world. I just had to say that in closing. I want to thank our radio listening audience tonight, because without you for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, you know, even though I flew solo tonight, hopefully you learned something from that in the previous learning labs, and make dua for our beloved sister, Quran Shakir, in terms of she can be able to get over her laryngitis. Inshallah, next week, the role playing that we promise you, that we'll be able to do that next week, God willing, and all. And I want to thank Rashid Salam, who is a walking encyclopedia. He's a living encyclopedia when it comes to Dr. George Washington Carver. He articulates the life and time of Dr. George Washington Carver so very well. I've never heard anybody do it better than him. And seriously, he accepts all invitations, either locally or if he has to travel, he's not afraid to get up in the air and everything. So much information tonight. I want to thank you. A special thanks go to you, and a special thanks for being the engineer and all. I want to just say quickly, the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio, as tomorrow is Salatu Juma Day worldwide, and those who are immobilized and can't get out and about, they can come back to IWDM Radio with the Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sayer. That starts at 2 p.m. Eastern. It's 1 p.m. Central. It's 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. The longest-running production here on IWDM Radio is hosted, once again, by the very distinguished esteemed Imam Mikhail Sayer on Words Make People. I know it's going to be a special this Sunday. You don't want to miss it. There's a lot of valuable information in terms of the founder who transitioned by the middle of last year, I think June 1st, as reported by his wife, and it was reported that he suffered a second stroke and everything. And we ask that may Allah bless his soul, forgive him his false sins and errors and shortcomings in this life, and that he will bless Brother Colic to be in the paradise. So you want to tune in for that. That starts every Sunday afternoon. Words Make People starts at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's high noon Central, and it's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. That's the longest running production on Sunday, but the beginning of the week is what that begins with the science of your health and you. Yes, the science of your health and you, with the very distinguished, esteemed host, Rashid Salam, who you just heard tonight. He hosts a very distinguished program, also with the very distinguished and esteemed instructor, Abdul Shaheed. That begins each and every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And then following that is Wednesday, the Sister Learning Lab to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. That's the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with the very distinguished, esteemed host, Dr. Patricia Slaudine. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed, each and every Wednesday. We invite you to tune in, listen in, and we have an outstanding publication that we're using, Parenting Skills Based on the Quran, the Sunnah of the Prophet, Practical Application for Various Ages. We ask you to tune in. It happens each and every Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And it's followed traditionally by the MGM Roundtable. That's each and every Wednesday. We won't have it each and every Thursday. This was a special edition. This is a national holiday for us, for Dr. George Washington Carver. But the MGM Roundtable follows. It's 8 p.m. Eastern. It's 7 p.m. Central. And it is 5 p.m. Pacific Coast time for the MGM, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, who I always like to bring and present to you very distinguished, esteemed guests inside the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad, outside the community, and also topics that are pertinent to us as a community, and you'll hear more about that. And also, on each and every Thursday night is a very distinguished, esteemed host, Quran Shakir, and yours truly, Mark Shaheed, for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And so we'll be looking for a return of our beloved sister. Keep her in your du'as. And that happens each and every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast time here on IWDM Radio. Let's not forget the theme of IWDM Radio as we begin this new year in the Gregorian calendar. Set yourself free in 2023 by thinking with the Quran. Make sure that you get that information out to your local masajids and Islamic centers. Put it in your announcements. Talk it up with your imam. Have him to include that in the khutbah and your ta'leems. Talk to members in your community and see what it is or what it means to you to set yourself free in 2023 by thinking with the Quran. So until next time, remember the Muslim drunk, the subscription up. And so until next time, yes, salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Namu alaykum.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na, 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 na. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Help, y'all. Can't do it alone.
Salamu alaikum. That's all, folks.